Welcome to another episode of COVID Chronicles, a podcast by, for, and about people affiliated with Portland Mennonite Church in Portland, Oregon. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum, and my guest is Tim Claussen. Welcome, Tim. It's so great to have you with me.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Now, I introduced you as Tim, but your Zoom name and the name that many people know you by is TK. Can you just explain a bit about where that got started?
Sure. In high school, during my junior year, there were three Tims in the church youth group, the Northbrook Covenant Church, suburb of Chicago, and one of my classmates in the youth group was another Tim, and one of the youth leaders was another Tim. And so a friend of ours, who we called BC, said, "You be TK, you be TA," and then there was a third Tim that I think was TC. And I kind of liked the ring of TK, and so I've used that ever since, especially in larger groups where there may be other Tims or where it's just nice to have a name that's a little less common.
And since I see what your other name is here, and I had a question about turtles, tell me what turtle means to you.
Turtles are my favorite animal ever since around the same time, maybe a little later, but I just decided that if I had to choose one animal in which to kind of empathize with my own characteristics, I thought I like the turtle because it is known for its perseverance rather than its speed. And I tend to be a slower paced person in some regards, but I do have a gift of perseverance if I choose to. And I like the turtle's kind of strength, but low profile, somewhat modest nature, not the best looking in the animal kingdom, and yet having some character. So I just kind of adopted. And then in recent times, I've used the turtle in Sunday school with some of the kids here at PMC. And it's been a fun way to have fun with my name, in that I have an art series where I've thought of other names that also have the initials TK. So obviously, to, you know, it started with Tim Claussen, but Turtle King also is a TK. So I've used that for my my art site on Facebook and my Instagram site, Art Turtle King. And then I've had a few others, Terrapin Knickers and Transfix Creation, spelled with a K. Anyway, a few others that I've used in my artwork.
You are not a native Oregonian, so tell us a bit of your origin story. Where did you get started in life?
I was born in Winnipeg, Canada, along with my brothers, and my father was also born there. That's from the Claussen line that were Russian Mennonites and immigrated in the 1920s to Winnipeg. My father had left Winnipeg to go to college, but then after he graduated from seminary and had married, he returned for his first church, which was the Winnipeg Covenant Church. So he spent 6 years there, and that's where all three of us were born. So my first 4 years, so no school, but the initial years were in Winnipeg.
And where do you fit in that three boys lineup?
I'm the first. I'm the eldest.
And just for my husband's sake, Winnipeg is in Manitoba, Canada.
Correct.
So let's just make sure that we know that there is a province in there as well.
That's true. Yes. Appreciate that. Because if we were talking about the states, of course, we would identify the state.
So what happened? You made another move, apparently, or you made a move.
So my father was a pastor, and he did like developing churches, not just being a pastor. So unlike Pastor Rod, he would seemingly grow a little antsy after a few years and enjoy starting something new or being part of new beginnings for himself as well. So we went to Davis, California, to University Covenant Church between 1965 and 70. And then in 1970, we moved to Kansas City, suburb of Prairie Village, for Hillcrest Covenant Church. And then in 1977, he was called to the executive office of the Covenant Church, which is in Chicago. And so we made a move to a Chicago suburb. And he served as an executive secretary of evangelism for the denomination. And so that's where I graduated from high school and returned from college for several years.
Now, this is part of an Anabaptist / Mennonite tradition. Is that true?
No, the Covenant Church is part of a Scandinavian tradition, which does have some similarities to the Mennonite Anabaptist tradition, but historically is completely separate. It was a group that was a breakaway of the Lutheran Church, a little bit the way the Mennonites broke away from the Catholic Church, similarly wanting religious freedom. And so part of the big immigrant movement from Norway and especially Sweden in the late 1800s was to have religious freedom. In Scandinavia, the church was part of the ruling elite and made people's lives miserable instead of being what the church should be. And so the early Covenant Church would want to back up its rules or its life together with the phrase, "Where is it written?" Meaning that it was a Bible-based belief. It was a good church to grow up in, and I knew that I had Mennonite background in the family, but Dad and his brothers, actually, all three of them did leave the Mennonite church.
So what would a worship service be like during your growing up years, and how might it differ from what we do at PMC?
It would actually be somewhat similar in that there was also singing and scripture read and different participants helping to lead, guest speakers from time to time, good music, but one difference was that music was a little more thought of as something left to the professionals. So for example, we hired an organist, and that was a paid position, and our choir director was a paid position. Generally speaking, I'm thinking of Kansas City, which was a little bit of a bigger church. But I think if you turned off all the instruments, unlike PMC, the singing would not be so strong. There was not so much, as we know, the four-part harmony that we love with the Mennonites was not to be found with the Covenant so much. So there was some great musical talent, but not quite as pervasive, I would say, as in the congregational singing anyway. There was a loud organ, and we loved the organ, but it did kind of drown out some of the rest.
And you're talking to someone who absolutely loves organ music, so I'm almost a little bit jealous.
Yeah. Well, I remember when we built the new sanctuary in Kansas City, it was a huge deal to have, I can't remember how many ranks, but at the time that was a big thing, that it was going to be a, for example, 48 rank alt organ, and the pipes arrived, and we lived in a parsonage, which was adjacent to the church. And so we could come as kids, we could come to the church building and snoop around. And I remember those pipes laying flat on the ground and just being amazed at the variety and how big some of them were and how small some of them were. And to think that that was going to be part of this huge machine to make music, it was just very impressive and astounding.
You mentioned that you went to college. Where did you go and what did you major in?
So I went to three different schools after high school. And after I graduated high school, I took a gap year and did an academic year-long 9,000-mile bicycle trip. So that was kind of like my first year of experiential learning between high school and college.
Where did you go?
I went through 20 western states. It was a round trip from and back to Chicago. So I went all the way out west and back, a southern route, returning a northern route. And unless I was in Portland as a kid, driving through and not remembering it, that was my first visit to Portland in 1980.
Did you do this alone or did you go with somebody?
I did it solo. I was going to have a couple people to travel with, and one of them backed out 2 weeks ahead of time. And the other one was a high school friend who left with me and only lasted 6 days and decided that he just couldn't get along without mom's cooking and he had a sore knee. And like I said, I was like the turtle. You know, I had determined I was going to do this. And so there was no stopping me with or without the original plan. And, you know, I was barely 18 and I looked very young. And so there were people who thought I was running away from home. And I actually asked my parents for a statement of their support so I could say, no, it's fine with them. In fact, they are supportive as long as I call home once a week to check in on Monday evening.
I see a whole nother interview we've got to do to get that trip story.
But there are a lot of stories. Yeah. Yeah.
That was your gap year. And then?
So then University of Cincinnati, I wanted to be an architect.
Where did that come from? The architect?
Yeah. I wanted to combine my love of art and the environment and design. Living spaces. I wanted to combine those kind of three elements into a form that would be good for the world. Good. I was always very idealistic and I wanted to make houses and communities that were environmentally sound and that were beautiful and that were functional too. So very kind of, you know, make the world a better place and have some fun at it. And so even as early as fifth grade, I was designing houses. And this was my dream. However, I've never been strong on the math and physics side of things. So unfortunately, there was a wake-up call during that 6 months, two quarters at University of Cincinnati. And I realized that it just wasn't going to work out as planned. I'd been accepted into one program and I needed to get straight A's or something to transfer into the official design, art, and architecture program. And so I left. And then I went to a small college in Columbia, Missouri, Columbia College. And that had been historically a Christian college, but it was no longer affiliated with any church. It was in a university town. I knew about it from a recruiter who had been to my high school, and I remembered that. And I thought, let's try a small school after 38,000 at University of Cincinnati, where I just felt like an anonymous little number. I liked the idea of a small school. And again, it was in the Midwest, not too far from home, but far enough. So that was good. I made some friends. I had some great teachers, but it still didn't fit like a good fit. I had a roommate who was in ROTC and I didn't like the military affiliation. Again, I was not raised Mennonite, and yet the Mennonite background from the Klassen somehow seemed to seep through, because I just felt myself drawn to an interpretation of Christianity that did not include military service. Plus, there were other Christians at the school who challenged my faith and made me think that it wouldn't be a bad thing to have faith be part of what I would study in a college setting. You know, originally I was very against that, but I kind of came full circle to thinking that that wasn't a bad idea after all. So I decided to quit, again with no plan, but my brother Steve and I, at that time, pre-internet, were looking through this thick catalog of all the American colleges and universities. And we came across Goshen. I'd never heard of Goshen. I'd heard of Tabor College, because on my bicycle trip, I ran across that Mennonite college. So I knew Mennonite colleges were out there, but it really was not on my radar at all. But when we found Goshen, I saw, okay, they have art, they have peace studies. I thought, you know, maybe this would be a fit. And I went as a prospective student. There were a couple girls from Iowa who said, no, you don't want to go here. It's super boring. And yet they completely defeated their purpose, because they were so much fun. And I thought, you know, some boring would be good, so I could actually focus on actually getting through school. So I transferred and finally got a BA in with an art major.
And you said that after that, you went back home to Illinois, or what came next?
I only went back to Illinois for summer break during the summers of these college years. And then in 1983, my mother sold our house. And so then there wasn't a place to go home to. She moved into the city proper and had a much smaller apartment. My parents had divorced and my father had moved to California. And so that changed the home setting radically, obviously.
Another connection. You and I are both PKs whose parents got divorced.
That's right. But I remember being a PK, but I hadn't remembered that other piece. Yeah, very significant. So with that, I rented it was a Jartran truck. In 1983, I hauled all my stuff from Northbrook to Goshen, and was able to get storage with some people from my church who had a big home with some, you know, and I sold some things. And so Goshen became my home year-round in 1983.
So is it safe to say that as you went to Goshen, that you then started to attend a Mennonite church because it was right there?
Or? Kind of, yes, yes. I visited a lot of the Mennonite churches in Goshen and appreciated the diversity and was fascinated by different churches. But the group that I finally joined was Communion Fellowship, which we called CF. And it was not Mennonite per se at the time, but all the people who were there had grown up in the Mennonite church or the Church of the Brethren. And so we did become a church officially and actually managed to get a dual affiliation for a while with the Mennonite Church and the Church of the Brethren. So a unique setup, because we felt like we wanted to honor the backgrounds of the majority of people and also be accountable to a denomination. It was a charismatic church, and so very different from most of the mainstream Church of the Brethren or Mennonite churches. And I was part of that church the entire years that I was in Goshen, long after I graduated in 85. I was there till 1993.
Doing?
Art and other other jobs, just one thing or after another, part-time jobs that I kind of combined with doing my own art on the side and being part of CF as a community.
So when you made the next move, where and why?
I loved Goshen, but I felt like through the years, it became a little too small for me. And there was the Communion Fellowship was a great community, and there was kind of a alumni community of friends from the college. I loved the cultural opportunities through that. I loved how close it was to Chicago to go back and forth to my mother's place and friends there. But I was still single, and I thought, you know, for that reason alone, I should go somewhere with a big of a larger gene pool. And so I considered different cities, and Chicago just felt like too much like going someplace I'd already explored. And I had enough sense of adventure to want to go somewhere new. And my friend from Goshen, Marlon Sainer, had moved to Portland about a year earlier. And I had family in the adjacent states, Washington, California. So I felt bad leaving my mother in the Midwest, but the rest of the family was all out west. And all that added up to moving to Portland. So I moved in January of 1993. And so almost 28 years later, Portland has been home ever since.
And what a perfect month to move to Portland, right in the middle of the winter rainy season.
Yes. And one of my early memories of Portland was a snowstorm that winter. Later on, I believe it was in February, I remember cars driving up and down Sandy Boulevard in Northeast with tire chains on. And that just, I felt like I was in the mountains, because my only association with chains was when our family took vacations and we're up in the mountains. Nobody ever wore chains in the Midwest in a city, because they plowed the streets and used salt. So Portland just was very fascinating to me. And I remember the first spring, again in Hollywood District, right down from the ridge, the gardens and flowers, and just being blown away by the greenery and beautiful colors of Portland.
So is it safe to say that you came to Portland without a job, without having a good idea of what you might do to make a living, or?
That is correct. Yeah, that is correct. Marlon was working at now defunct Laser Quick print shops. And so I kind of had a vague idea that because there were so many Laser Quick stores, that surely one of them would need some help. And I saw that as being a little bit related to my art background. So I had this naive idea that that would be a place to land, but they weren't hiring. And so I ended up just looking at the want ads and applying for a number of jobs. Some of them were art related. A number of them were art related. None of them came through. And so then there was an ad from TriMet. And so I applied for that job and became a part-time bus operator 5 months after I moved here. And then went to full-time 2 years later, I should say. And so I did that altogether for 26 years.
Another amazing piece of your story that we're not going to have too much time, but tell me what it was like when you got into one of those big buses, and I'm sure the buses have changed over all these years, but what was it like to get into a bus and drive around a city?
Well, I remember just before getting the job that this friend that I moved out here, Marlon, we were driving in his car across the steel bridge, and we were following a bus. And I remember seeing that bus just in the center where the structure of the bridge was had to just have, it looked to me like inches on either side. And I just thought, how could anyone do that? You know, it just looked too scary. But I had actually driven buses back in both Indiana and Illinois. I had driven school buses for a day camp, for a seed farm. I'd driven RVs. And so I did have experience driving larger vehicles. So I rode a bus once and talked to a driver and thought, maybe I can do this. And the training department was very reassuring. They just said, don't be afraid. We'll help you through each step. And the very first day of training, we were off on the streets of Portland driving a bus. And it was scary, but I managed to do it.
Well, before we end today, I would just like to hear how you got connected to Portland Mennonite. And then we are definitely doing a second edition, Tim, because there's just too much more that we have to know about you. So, but just tell us about how you got connected to Portland Mennonite.
Well, a little like when I was new in Goshen, I was interested in exploring different churches in Portland, too. And as I alluded to, I was interested in meeting the perfect woman who was surely waiting for me in Portland. And so one of my first prerequisites for a church was that some kind of nice, significant singles group. So I went to a number of larger churches, but I never really found that singles group that seemed like a good fit. And meanwhile, I was curious about the Mennonite church, having been part of a Mennonite church and having identified now as a Mennonite for some years. And so I did find PMC, and early on, around sometime in 1995, this is one of the little tricky things that I've found that PMC does. They ask you to do something. They ask you to be part of something, just real casually, so you can say yes or no. So I was asked to be part of a Lenten reading week after week in the Lenten weeks. So by then, I'd been coming for a little while, and I just thought, yeah, the singles thing can work out some other way. I like the people at PMC, and I may as well put down some roots here. So I kept coming. Finally joined up.
And you're still there.
And I'm still here. Yeah.
Just quickly, how did you actually find PMC? It was before the internet, so you couldn't have looked us up. Did you just have your finger on the pulse because you were a bus driver? Or?
No, well, actually, you could look things up back then, but you would look it up in a physical form, that being the phone book. And so I was an active user of phone books through the years, and so I found Portland Mennonite in the phone book. Yeah. I'm 99% sure that's how it happened. I looked for churches in the Yellow Pages or something like that. I'd found the Covenant Church and was part of West Hills Covenant Church for a while, and I liked that. But the pastor I really liked left, and it was kind of far away, and the geographic proximity. When I found Portland Mennonite, I thought, oh, well, by that time, I'd moved to Southeast Portland, and so I was delighted with how close it was. And by the time I actually joined, I was living where I am now, and I love the fact that I could get there on TriMet or on bicycle or even walk if I wanted to. It was that close.
And now you can just sit on your couch.
Yeah, now it's even closer, right?
So we haven't even talked about the pandemic, but there will sadly probably be time to do that.
Yeah.
TK, thank you so much for taking the time to share some of your stories. And
sure,
this is definitely just episode one with you. We'll make sure that we get some more later on. And thank you for joining us for this episode of COVID Chronicles. We hope you discovered something new and feel more connected to your friends at Portland Mennonite. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum. Until next time, stay well and keep the faith.